for June 22nd, 2018, we talk about the remainder of the E3 news, at least the stuff that matters to us, Rime, and we ask you what you thought was missing from this year's E3. Lots of E3. Welcome to Level 246. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meinsweth.
And you're listening.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
Look at me.
Yeah, I think by being last, I feel like I gain Ben's mana, right? That's how that works, right?
At least until he comes to reclaim it. And this is The Level. Thank you for listening to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games. We expected to have Ben here tonight. However, he is late and has not contacted us. That is very strange. We hope that he's okay. We have put in a missing persons report. There is currently a chopper making low, tight circles around Austin.
Yes.
Yeah.
He just knocked on my window. I'm in Ohio. What the hell?
Well, you knocked on mine simultaneously. That is so weird.
Now we have to decide which Ben it is. What question would you ask Ben to determine if it's the real Ben?
Are you lying to me right now?
I feel like
it'd be too nice.
Go ahead.
I feel like I'd go with, I know, you need some sort of advanced mathematics, but it needs to end up paradox so that if he's a robot he'll short circuit.
Well, I mean, in this situation he is definitely in the power lines. It was some kind of mishap that put him in the power lines, so we'll figure it out. I expect him to either let us know what's going to happen or to join us late, but we will swing as it goes. Hey everybody, there's a new duck bundle.
Woohoo!
Yeah, just like last year, we're raising some money for what we consider to be worthy causes. Go to duckfeed.tv/store, check that out. It has one episode of every currently running show, and also, in addition to that, a couple of retired shows. There's a couple of Bonfireside Chats on there. There's a file underwater. If you're listening to this, it will be of interest to you. We did a bonus level about Inside, the game, the follow-up game to Limbo. That was very fun. Yeah, it's all good stuff.
Fun is an interesting word for that game. I mean, it is. That is not the primary word I would associate with it.
I enjoyed myself. It just wasn't that gleeful, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Also, and I'm going to make this short because I anticipate somebody will be rolling their eyes or complaining about it, but I'm going to use my platform. This thing that's going on with kids at the border, go to contactingcongress.org. And if you have an opinion about that, you probably do. Please use that resource and talk to the people who have a bigger voice than you, the people who might be able to, do something about what is being done in your name. Contactingcongress.org. Okay.
Seconded.
Yeah.
that was short. That was brief. People have argued that we virtue signal. I don't care. There are a couple thousand people that listen to this, and I want them to hear that. So, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to bum us out there. That will be in lieu of my banter.
Nah, you should only feel bummed out if you don't actually do anything.
Right. Yeah. How are you, David?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Just kind of, honestly, it's been... You know, I had a couple weeks that were like super, super busy. And then now I'm on to like just kind of the grind until the next thing. Although my mother's coming to visit next week, which will be interesting because, have had a family out since I've moved here. And I don't think she's ever been out on the West Coast before. So that'll be interesting.
With her profession, really?
Yeah. So she, I think her company was very much situated in the South. And so that was kind of where a lot of the like cultural inertia, whatever you want to call it, it was. So like most of her conferences and stuff like that were there.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess I should also say this week, I'll probably have a lot more to talk about next week because actually this is, I believe it's Pride Week. So, the city is gearing up in a big, big way.
That is really cool. You'll have to let us know if you do or see anything cool.
I just heard in my head, gay cannons charging.
God, that would be so great. I need to go. Oh man, that is totally true. Northside, I think, is doing something this weekend, so I need to see about going up to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, definitely report back.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Dennis, how about you?
Not much. What was it? Yesterday just was Father's Day, so got a nice little celebration in there.
Nice.
I went to Listerman's Brewery.
Oh yeah, over in Norwood. Yeah.
Yep. Right near Xavier for any of our local boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so drank and ate there. Had a wonderful time. Kids went absolutely nuts playing cornhole. And then went to a park afterwards. And then everyone in the family passed out by like 9 p.m. It was awesome.
That is fantastic. Oh my gosh. Like after a hot day of doing stuff outside. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Nothing like playing on a playground in just brutalizing heat and then going inside and probably being like, well, they're ready to pass out and I'm ready to pass out and screw it. Let's go.
Yeah.
So are you guys having a pretty hot year so far? Cause I mean, normally this would still be early enough that the heat might not have ramped up.
It's like in the 90s.
Okay, so that's actual, pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. It feels earlier than usual. I normally wouldn't comment about the weather unless I spent a bunch of time out there. Dennis, you might be able to back me up on this. Is the haze and air quality like just really messing with your breathing too?
Yeah, it's no bueno.
Yeah, my allergies are fucked.
Yeah, it is not best.
Yeah, and the way I described it in Slack earlier, I've got a Bane-like contraption on my face for delivering Flonase.
Yeah, is this a lot of it pollen or?
Yeah, pollen and haze and just kind of pollution, you know?
See, that's one of the things I tried to explain to people out here that I feel like is kind of unique of, I mean, I'm sure there are other cities, but, you know, kind of unique to Cincinnati is because it's so hilly.
Mm-hmm.
Most buildings are, you know, built on, you know, top of some hill, and then eventually it gets steep enough that you just can't build. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of like these mini, like 5 foot wide forests just all over the place.
Yep.
You know, just growing on the side of these hills. And so you still get like all the pollen and stuff, just like if you're out in the country.
Yeah. It's a
pollen belt.
Yep, yeah. We're down here in the pollen belt. Yeah, so the air quality's been a bit of a bummer, but that's cool. I bought brewing supplies from Listerman, but I've never actually drank or eaten there.
That's what I've heard of them before. Okay, that's
what they're mostly known for. And then, you know, they started just selling the supplies, and then eventually it just got so popular, and screw it, they're making good at beer too.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're good at making beer too.
How much of that have you had?
Yeah.
Are you sure this was
still
yesterday?
Wicked hungover. Yeah, right. No. So they started making it as well. And it was delicious.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we'll catch up with Ben if he ever shows up. Guys, I'm kind of worried about him.
Yeah, he's definitely dead.
We use the euphemism. He's in the power lines, okay?
That's right. he was destroyed.
This is very dark. So we have a little bit of an unusual show for you, just because the brief is going to be discussion about stragglers from E3 that we didn't talk about last time. But we've got a multiplayer, also about E3, and a grind. A little bit of a preview. I don't have much.
I think we're on pace for world record time here.
Let's go ahead and do this. So first thing we do is
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. So when we spoke last week, we talked a little bit about some things that had happened in the conferences up to the time where we recorded. The remainder of the conferences have happened since then. What I would like to do, rather than talk about everything, is kind of do like a little bit of a draft almost, where we go down the different shows, and if something is exciting, we talk about it. Basically, each of us brings one thing until one of us doesn't have something to bring. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Cool. Electronic Arts, that was a shit show. I didn't find an awful lot very exciting there.
Not really.
I feel like my takeaway was that, you know, they went to all this stuff, you know, about, you know, oh, we're going to be, you know, better to the fans, and we're, you know, we're real sorry. We're not, you know, not going to be abusive, stuff like that. It's like, oh, so you guys not going to have loot boxes? Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's not go crazy here.
Like, yeah. I know, like, that's probably to a certain degree just me being like, you know, kind of petty or, you know, holding a grudge. But I do feel like there's a degree to which it's like, you really don't need to do all this song and dance. Yeah. All you actually need to do is just say, hey, we're not going to do it anymore.
Yeah. Like, you're trying to prove to us that you're better. Be better. That's all it takes. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well. And they showed stuff from Anthem, but, like, I don't know. I'm not that crazy about third-person Destiny, you know?
I was going to say, I didn't watch. I assume it is third-person Destiny.
Yeah.
Just can't work up a care.
Nope. Oh, well, we can move on from that. There was a little bit more meat on the bones in the Microsoft show. We already talked a little bit about Sekiro. And that was the big one. We actually have an episode in there's a Bonfireside Chat kind of trailer discussion episode in the Duck Bundle, if people are curious about that. But I'll throw it to you guys, because one of you has this highlighted here.
Yeah, so I've not seen much other than, yeah, so, I mean, I guess, it, you know, From's new game is Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Sekiro, roughly translating to, like, half wolf, something like that.
Okay. You know. So
it is a Sekiro. It is a Sekiro joint.
What?
Doesn't she have that song, She-Wolf?
I don't know.
There's a She-Wolf in the closet. Let her play Sekiro now.
Okay.
Well, in that respect, then, I'm going to amend this and say I'm still holding out hope that this is an Altered Beast remake. but, yeah, I know. I just, I feel really mixed. On the one hand, it looks like a really cool setting and, you know, set up and just looks really cool. On the other hand, I'm kind of disappointed that, it seems like it's very much not going to be like in the Soulsborne genre.
So like moment to moment, it's going like it appears everything seems to be that it's going to play like a much faster, more swordplay oriented version of that. The big thing is that there is no like RPG character progression. Yeah. So it's going to be down closer to a almost like a Ninja Gaiden kind of thing.
Yeah, I suppose some of that is like, what do you get from Souls? So for me, that's then like in no way a Souls game, although I could see someone that was like, for example, really into the like boss rush aspects of Soulsborne, maybe this being, you know, kind of still having some of the DNA.
Yeah, that's the idea. This is still a you know, a reasonably ponderous third person action game, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I do love that. That arm looks really cool though.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I want grappling hooks to be in everything. So this, that's a very pithy way to put it, but
I mean, the only ever, other, you know, entry in the, you know, and anime cyborg gun ninja genre is, you know, pretty good. So
that being Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, I was thinking Metal Gear Rising.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I was thinking about other stuff. Go ahead.
Combining Metal Gear Rising and then cool games with grappling hook arms. Mm-hmm. They also showed off Devil May Cry 5
Good
at the
segue.
Microsoft conference. Microsoft conference. Thank you. Thank you very much. So I'm excited for this because anything Devil May Cry is going to make me very happy. I am a little sad that they are not continuing with the DMC remake. Because I loved that game to pieces. Yeah, it was just that struck a very Dennis Furia specific chord for some reason. And it was just my brand of like emo, punk rock, Devil May Cry. I don't know. It was just it just did it for me. And played and beat that game on every single difficulty mode.
Yeah.
So I was all about it.
It was kind of shitty that they, I mean, shitty, whatever. A game doesn't need it. It's honor defended. it was remarkable that they, how much they went out of their way to just cast shade on DMC.
Yeah, which kind of confuses me because, like, I'm very much in the camp that, like, I would prefer them, like, not go with the DMC thing or, like that I was kind of disappointed that they sort of, you know, did a reboot, but at the same time, like, it was a good enough game that I'm now kind of disappointed that they're not. Does that make sense?
The second game in a series is almost always, like, the best, so... Yeah.
Right. Well, like I guess I'm saying, like, yeah, except for not in Devil May Cry. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, it was a good enough game that, like, even though I don't like, say, that version of the universe isn't my favorite one, like, I'm very disappointed that it's not going to continue or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that. Yeah. Come on now. Don't dash my hopes that completely.
Ninja Theory was bought out, man, by Microsoft.
Yes.
Something like
that's
that.
Correct.
Yeah. I forget. Like that was a high profile acquisition. So I don't know that they're going to be necessarily working with Capcom anymore.
Sure. I am hoping at the very least, I hope they keep the, what do they call it? Like Limbo, the way that was like depicted, I think was really, really solid.
Yeah.
Limbo and DMC, not Limbo the game by Playdead.
Correct. I think one to get just a little too meta for a second. I feel like the DMC would hate the guts of the mainline Devil May Cry's style, and of course the mainline Devil May Cry hates the guts of the DMC style, and that's of just course. It. You know, it fits.
Right.
See, I guess don't mind that too much.
I almost had the. I'm pretty sure I said this when I first played it, but still, I almost had kind of the opposite thing. It seemed to me like what this series is a decade. Old, like I'm not the same person I was a decade ago, but like if you took like the general character of Dante from like the 90s or, you know, aughts or whatever, and had like, what would they probably act like today? Like DMC seemed like a pretty good match.
Yeah.
We're talking
and
about
those two groups are destined to hate each other's guts. So
old, out of the way, old man. Yeah. We're talking about the past though. Do we have any like concrete idea of the way that Devil May Cry 5 is going to play? Or do we just have the kind of cinematic trailer aspect of it?
Cinematic Dante is back. Nero is back.
From 4.
Which was the guy with the from 4 motorcycle grip sword and the aforementioned grappling hook hand. Mm-hmm. They very clearly showed that old man Dante is in this game as well.
Yeah.
The thing I'm always interested in is the art style that they apply to demons or whatever. In a Devil May Cry game, because it seems to just evolve every single time. Like 4 had a very like almost robotic element to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones in the 5 trailers seem very like alien-esque, kind of homunculus-ish, which is a little bit more like vanilla typical demon. So I'm sure they will do something more creative as they go along with it. But it's always interesting to see that art style evolve. But I'm excited for it. And I know regardless of the skin you put it in, the gameplay is going to be as solid as it gets. So,
My only concern is that we may learn that there's some sort of prophecy that, only DMC or God of War can be good games at the same time, like only one at the same time, and that would cause me to worry.
Huh. We will see. The thing from Microsoft that excited me was, at least, you know, the first time we saw it was a Microsoft show. It showed up elsewhere. But The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, the kind of the side game in the Life is Strange universe about a little kid with special powers who plays imagination games. On one hand, like a lot of stuff about Life is Strange, it was exceptionally twee. However, I love something that plays with kid logic. And definitely the way that a kid playing pretend will see the world. And this seems to be a really, really good expression of that. And I'm very curious what kind of story they're going to tell with that conceit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready for something gentle sometime, you know?
Don't say that. That game is going to crush you so hard.
Oh, yep.
The sad part.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Any other stuff from Microsoft here? Anybody have any stragglers?
Nah.
Is Cyberpunk 2077 mentioned later?
We talked about that last week. However, you were not here, so I want to give you an opportunity to say your piece on it.
Oh, just in general, it looks awesome.
David, what kind of Cyberdong will you install? Now, we all went into great detail on this last week, so I encourage you to be forthcoming.
Yeah.
So do I have options or?
Oh, do you have options? I'm sure.
It's transhumanism. Like, you know, the sky's the limit. By which I mean it shall reach to the sky. I don't know what that voice was. I just wanted to be grandiose.
That voice was the person that would sell me a cyberdong.
Yep. What was all you wanted to say? Man, this looks cool. Or did you have something?
Pretty much. I did think there was kind of a interesting article in Polygon this week on just kind of interviewing the developers on the use of nudity in the game. That sounds kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, that's probably more a read this think piece as opposed to like have me regurgitate this think piece.
Yeah. Let me remember, make a note to include a link to that. That was interesting. It was interesting to hear their rationale for why there is going to be nudity in the final game.
Yeah.
It made sense to me, and that they're not aiming for prurience.
Yep.
Yeah. Bethesda guys, Doom, Doom guys, Doom, Doom Eternal. I mean, Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Doom
Eternal is in like doom never changes. It just knows exactly what it is and that's what it's gonna be.
Yeah. It's like I kind of knew what it was going to be ahead of time. You can make a guess. Yeah, it's gonna, you know, first hell is on Mars, now it's gonna be hell on Earth. I want more of it. The things that I saw looked really good. I'm jazzed about it. It's just ridiculous that it was showing in full force that there was Doom, Wolfenstein, and Rage all being shown in the same show.
Rage, the sequel that no one really asked for, right?
Yeah.
But now maybe once, and it's slightly, slightly uncomfortable with that fact.
I don't know, looks pretty good to me. Like, I like that it's colorful. I like that it seems to have a personality to it.
But I feel like you can almost feel the like, Rage look too looks like it might be really good, and that kind of rocks my worldview. Like, I feel like you just kind of feel that emanating from E3.
I feel like the original Rage had good trailers as well. So
this is true.
True.
Yeah, they have a good team making it, though. I think it's the. Let me correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the Mad Max people, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, I already made my statement about second games always being the best, so I've got hope.
Well, I would say, like, I don't know, like, what the Mad Max game did amazingly was like, the world-building aspects, which I feel like is probably one of the biggest things that could probably help that that series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
What stuck out to you, Dennis?
So from Bethesda, not much. Like, if I was going to talk about anything, I'd talk about Doom, which I just did and said exactly what I wanted to say about it. So I feel like I'd like Wolfenstein if I ever played it, but I just haven't experienced that game at all. So Bethesda is kind of a blind spot for me. Same with Devolver. I want to hear about that. Who watched it? Cole, just you maybe?
I did. Yeah. Before we move on to that, though, David, did you have anything that stuck out? on Bethesda?
No, not really. I mean, I'll probably at some point call in Fallout 76, although I feel like that's going to be mentioned like every third show probably.
Yeah, they definitely rolled it out. Yeah, so the Devolver, it was interesting. It was just it's like an Adult Swim sketch kind of thing. It was very funny. And the way that something that does rapid fire jokes is going to hit at least some of the time, you know, the person who wrote that very much captured the disdain that publishers would have for their customers buying the same shit over and over again. In terms of actual games, though, there wasn't as much as I expected. What I was looking for in the Devolver show ended up being, you know, on display in the PC gaming show later on. And last week I talked about Metal Wolf Chaos, and that's kind of the only thing I'm excited about. Both Scum and My Friend Pedro look neat, but like not day one acquisitions. That's like a thing I want to hear about on a podcast.
Yeah. Was My Friend Pedro announced before the show and then just shown more extensively there, or was it truly an announcement?
I have no recollection. It was the first time that I had seen it, but you may be right that it popped up.
Sounds familiar from somewhere, but that also might be... The somewhere might be a recap of E3. So yeah. It's hard to remember it right afterwards.
Yeah.
So is this Metal Wolf Chaos, is this like a new game or an HD remix? Or what's up with that?
HD remake.
Okay.
Yeah. Runs on modern systems. Full localization. Yeah.
Oh, that might not be a good call.
No, I mean, like, it already had English voice acting. When I say full localization, I mean, like, the menu text will be in English.
Okay. I was going to say, like, the questionable localization, I feel like, was a feature.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's that was it for Devolver. Very, I don't think announcements were what they were really aiming for in that. I think they just wanted to make an impression, which they did, and it's fine. It's funny. It was like 20 minutes, so you could do worse. You could do worse than go watch it. Good.
I feel like... Oh, sorry. Are we moving to the next one?
Have you had something to say about Devolver, you can do?
Oh, no. No, actually, I had something to say about Squeenix.
Well, let's go on to Square Enix, which I don't really have anything I'm excited about in this.
So I feel like it's just rather striking that, like, Square Enix's approach announcements were... Dragon Quest, another one. Final Fantasy, another one. And Kingdom Hearts, another one.
Well, Final Fantasy, another one. That, like, they were just talking about a content update for Final Fantasy 14.
Another one.
mean, they're adding Monster Hunter. Like, yeah. that is exciting for people who like both of those things.
To be fair,
I found...
Their Assassin's Creed content update they added was amazing.
What were we going to say, Dennis?
I found the Quiet Man trailer supremely awkward. Like, I'm not opposed to the game at all. It's just they started live action and then transitioned into video game footage in a way that I feel like was supposed to show off, like, ooh, you can't tell the difference. Yeah. And you very much could. Like, there's nothing there that is even, you know, the best that we've seen, much less close enough to fool you.
Yeah.
So it just struck me as odd.
I'm interested in it as a new thing. Like, who knows? It could be cool.
It is the one, not another thing from Square Enix. So
what's that?
It is the one, not another thing.
Yes. Yeah.
From Square Enix.
That is true. Did any of us have anything exciting from Square?
You got mine.
Okay. Ubisoft, there is a little bit here. Transference looks cool. That game that's being made with Spectre Vision, not Spectra Vision, Spectre Vision. It is not cable porn. No, that's the game, Elijah Wood's company. That it's going to be a VR style thing. That's a hybrid gameplay and movie, psychological horror, exploring AI kind of stuff. The trailer's super neat.
So I have a confession to make. I have yet to bring myself to try any of the myriad of horror games that I have for VR. I went into download Until Dawn, Rush of Blood in the PlayStation Store.
Oh, yeah.
And I just happened to be wearing my VR goggles while doing it because I was thinking of it. And the PSN store automatically plays trailers.
Uh-oh.
Watching the trailer in VR scared me so bad I haven't been able to start it yet, so...
That's funny.
I might have to stream that just for the entertainment value.
So I haven't looked into it other than just to see that it's apparently set in DC, but I am a little bit interested in The Division 2.
Yeah, what stuck out to you about that?
Well, I mean, just a couple of things. Like, one, I think, you know, The Division is a game that I think didn't fully get a fair shake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also is, you know, one of the game, probably the game that had the most interesting, like, maybe the only interesting, like, survival mode or whatever.
Okay.
But then also I think it's a little weird just because, like, I'm not sure how you make this into a series.
Right. They do seem to have, like, drawn themselves into a corner a little bit.
Right. I mean, presumably you know, America doesn't have that many cities you can just wipe out.
Right.
And then
oh, go ahead.
Oh, and then also just like, I enjoy just the weirdness of the setup of like the government's like plan for defending against like, you know, continuity of government type issues is just like thousands of sleeper agents spread across America.
You mean the least plausible explanation?
Yeah.
Like I said last time though, I always have this image of like, you know, the person's, you know, disaster happens, the person's watch lights up, and you know, all of a sudden they're like a badass, and like one of their coworkers being like, man, I mean, this all makes sense. I wondered about that time when, you know, we were walking and someone tried to mug us and you broke their neck. Like, it seemed a little weird, but now everything comes together.
Oh, a confederacy of Bournes.
Oh, that's good. I am done with the intense female violence somehow equaling we're including women in trailers, because the Division 2's trailer has a full 30 seconds of a woman begging and pleading, being dragged across the screen, forced to her knees, and then executed.
Jesus.
And I don't have patience for that anymore. Especially when then the next shot is the camera panning down to the male heroes. Mm. You know, like, fuck that.
Yeah.
So I was very disillusioned with this trailer. I was very disillusioned with the part of The Last of Us 2 that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
The part of The Last of Us Part 2 that I saw. apparently I missed a kiss that makes everything magically better, but I don't know. I was frustrated on that front.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit weird because, like, The Division, like, actually has, you know, fair, like, at least the first one, you know, fairly good diversity of characters, like, you know, particularly in terms of, like, you know, gender and stuff like that. So it's a little bit weird, like, that you would not, I don't know, that you would make it that whatever.
Yeah, that was my reaction as well. It's like, we're still doing this. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Ubisoft is one of the shows that I didn't see, and I didn't seek out a Division. Trailer.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of those that like I'm hoping is going to do like kind of the redemption story. I think could, but it's not one that is like, you know, if they announce Bloodborne 2, you know, like obviously that's, you know what I mean?
No, I don't understand.
It's one that I think we could next. I would say sort of like God of War, where like, you know, kind of the story became like, hey, this is a series that like made good. And I'd say it's more that than it is like, here's a series that's already amazing, and yeah, I'm excited that they're going to make another one.
Right, and they're like, oh, like they could surprise us as opposed.
You're
to
You're excited for the potentials. Yeah.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. What stuck out for you, Dennis?
So for me, the Skull and Bones game seemed really, really cool.
What is that, and how is it distinct from Sea of Thieves?
It is the Sea of Thieves like game, just seemingly executed much better. So the having not played Sea of Thieves, you guys can all call me on it if I'm wrong. But the complaint I saw lobbied against Sea of Thieves is that it is, you know, while you can do some cool stuff, it's actually a very limited set and it becomes repetitive quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas Skull and Bones just seemed to inject so much more variety and then also personality into the genre of game. And is Sea of Thieves the one where you can eat a banana the completely wrong way? Does that question make any sense?
You mean from
also,
the side?
What is the wrong way?
hold on a second. No, I think if I'm thinking of the right game, it's like, you know, a banana is one of the items that you can eat to like regain health or whatever. Uh-huh. And literally it's just a full banana in peel, like the stem pointed towards your mouth that it has you like mime eating.
Oh, like going full K-Pax with it.
Yeah. hold on a second. And then, you know, Polygon did a whole segment like showing someone actually eating it. Yeah, it is. it is that. So Sea of Thieves has that going for it. Skull and Bones seems to have everything else going for it.
Yeah.
See, I feel like my big deal breaker with Sea of Thieves was that it's a pirate game with no loot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that too. So yeah, I think, you know, it is clear, check Fortnite, you know, we've checked that box for the day, that, you know, a fast follower can really knock it out of the park, and I feel like that is what Skull and Bones is going to do for Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. Before we leave Ubisoft, the fact that there is a new Trials game is baller as fuck.
Yes.
A new what?
A new Trials game? Like
Ace Phoenix?
No, it's like a hyper mechanical / arcadey motorcycle game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I now know what you mean. Yes.
Yeah. Trials is great and fun, and I want more of it. So give me more of that video game ass video game.
I feel like in general, I am in support of any game that its primary like pitch is this great game is great and fun. Like, I can get behind this.
Yeah, well, it's just a big dumb video game ass video game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. The big one for me, and the thing that I walked away kind of being maybe not most excited about, but like looking at every single item, I can see myself actually playing a bunch of these. The PC gaming show was fantastic in terms of showing, you know, future indie stuff that is going to really stick out. For me, guys, Two Point Hospital. Oh, give me Two Point Hospital right now.
See, I missed the show, so I need to. You need to give a little more detail on it.
Yeah, Two Point Hospital. It is the follow up. It is some ex Bullfrog people making a remake of Theme Hospital, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Except with a bunch of it's super cartoony, like almost in a Wallace and Gromit style way. So instead of having real diseases, you're treating fantastical diseases. One thing that they showed off is that there can be a unibrow infestation, you know, so like for an epidemic, people grow unibrows and they come into the hospital to be treated for it. And then like they jump off and start spreading around. So like that's a way they show an epidemic is by having all this. Like, again, you know, like maybe I just have this appetite for something gentle, but like a super gentle hospital management sim that is exactly what I want. I love Theme Hospital. With all my heart, and I want more of it. And this looks like that's going to be the case. So
they are nailing the Wallace and Gromit art style.
It's great.
You,
right?
You weren't kidding when you said that. That's awesome.
I want it so bad.
Yeah, this looks awesome.
Yeah. Dennis, you have Jurassic World highlighted.
Yeah, just because, you know, like I the Furia family loves dinos and the Furia family loves Roller Coaster Tycoon. And this is those two things just smashed together, which makes me very happy.
Clearly the first thing that any player will do is smash those two things together.
Everybody's always wondered who would win.
Yeah. Well, you just remember that like 90% of the fun of Roller Coaster Tycoon was like killing the unhappy patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is just me. I don't know. But
you're right.
Yeah. So this is they're just like, we're not even going to deny it anymore. We're just going to build the game around it.
Oh yeah.
And I just can't wait for the moments where it's like, oh no, you're losing. Oh, so sad. Isn't that freaking awesome? But you're losing. Oh no.
SimCity disasters, man.
Yeah. And from the write-up, it seems like they're being very considerate of, you know, if you have to start over, if something goes horribly wrong, they really make it easy to kind of start again and have minimal frustration. Mm-hmm. So you keep a lot of the research you unlock and all that. So there's a bit of grind to get resources again, but you, in general, you'll be able to fast track right back to where you were. Yeah. Or just save scum, because you can do that too.
Yeah. No, that looks very neat. Again, mm-hmm. gentle park management.
Well, I don't know about the gentle part.
I mean, you know,
gentle for some people.
Gentle at first. David, what stuck out for you?
Honestly, like not this, like kind of like Dennis. I just straight up missed this one. So, Just Cause 4 is a game I look forward to watching YouTubers play. Like, yeah, a great deal.
That was all over the place, Just Cause 4.
Was it?
Yeah, talking about something like, well, like physicalized physics or something like that. Yeah.
That sounds made up.
They kept on using some kind of word like that. That's not, that isn't specifically it. But
To be fair, though, have you seen Just Cause? I feel like that sums it up perfectly.
Yeah, they physicalized the physics. Yeah. Now, Just Cause 4 and Hitman 2 stuck out for being like really high profile games for that show compared to a lot of the other stuff.
Yeah, and I guess like Hitman, like the reboot of Hitman is kind of, I feel like, a weird kind of blind spot for me, because mm-hmm. my understanding is they've kind of gone like a different way with it, and I've done kind of really doubled down on just kind of the more almost the puzzly aspects as opposed to the like shooty aspects.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. It's closer to Blood Money in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. Which seems really cool.
Yeah, no, it's good. I really enjoyed the bit of it that I played, the bit of the first one. Anyway, the bit of Hitman 2016. Ah. Fuck it. I don't want to move on without hitting at least two more of these things that earned three. Okay, three. There was a lot here that I really enjoyed. The Sinking City looks amazing. Open world. So this is by Frogware, the people who make the Sherlock Holmes games. Kind of an open world. You are an investigator. Looks like it's the 20s. You're in the city. It has kind of a Cthulhu vibe to it. And it is specifically about investigation and case solving. Looks amazing to me. The stuff that they showed off makes it look very close to being complete. So that is something I'm going to hop on right away. Maneater looks fantastic. Done by some of the original developers of Killing Floor, I believe, where you play as the shark and you can increase your shark abilities. They have shark progression.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll be honest, that's a game I have no desire whatsoever to play, but like I'm very much, I will vouch for the pedigree of the Killing Floor team.
Oh yeah. And also it reminds me of that actually pretty good PS2 Jaws game.
Jaws?
Yeah. So looks pretty great. I think another one is Satisfactory. Did you guys see anything about Satisfactory?
No, what's that?
Think first person Factorio. Where you start out by setting up your conveyor belts and converting one resource into another, and then eventually it spans an entire planet, like across biomes and stuff.
Oh wow.
Yeah, look up a trailer for it. When it's working at scale, it looks like a sight to see.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah.
This has all the beauty of like really intricate overpasses.
Mm-hmm.
To my mind, like it scratches that same kind of itch.
Yeah, I have no idea if my computer can run it or will be able to run it. I signed up for the alpha, which is rare.
Sure.
Yeah. We can move on to Sony. This had the big name stuff that I was most excited about. Specifically, guys, I am horny for that RE2 remake.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We saw that. I called it out while we were recording last week. It broke my heart not to be able to watch that reveal live. But both the cinematic trailer and the gameplay. Give it to me right now. It's third person, but in the RE7 engine, and it, you know, revisits the story of Resident Evil 2. You have Leon and Claire, you know, two campaigns, you know, third person, action-based. You've got zombies, lots and lots of zombies coming at you. And it's coming out in January, which is going to be here before we know it. So
excite.
So question, on a scale of, Saskatchewan to Frog, how much sense did Death Stranding's, trailer make?
I thought it looked cool. The gameplay looked a little bit sleepy, like a lot of moving around, but I like the idea of inhabiting a post-apocalyptic bizarre open world. Specifically, that is, you know, reclaimed by nature. Into it.
Cool.
Yeah. So I would say to Saskatchewan, I guess. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I didn't mean to like put down the last word for that, but Death Stranding also looked cool.
No. That's good. Yeah. I haven't seen anything about it, but I'm glad that like Neo is getting it too.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't a lot to that trailer. It was mostly cinematic. Eh. It looked more like a video game show, video game awards trailer. But yeah, that it is getting a 2 is cool. Dennis, you have something highlighted here.
Yeah, the real From Software game to be talking about.
Yep.
Which is Derisine, which if you had asked me the probability of getting a From Software VR game at the beginning of E3, I would have told you slim to none, but here we are.
I don't mean to, well, actually they had talked about working in VR like as early as like last year. There's like, they gave an inventory of the stuff they were working on, saying like, yeah, we've got something in VR. We have, you know, something that will look and feel a lot like something else we've done. And then also something that's kind of entirely new. But yeah, continue talking about Derisine, because I also think this looks interesting.
So yeah, it just the story behind it and like the reason for its being was really interesting, that Miyazaki like tried VR for the first time and just had this overwhelming sense of, one, how immersive VR is, but two, just how much more that highlights that you only kind of pseudo exist in these worlds, and you only like, you know, you can only interact to a certain point. There's this thing of like otherness and not quite being there.
Yeah, there's a buffer or a divide. Things are still behind glass, even though immersion is the goal.
Exactly. You know, it's like in any story game where like if you really try to push the boundaries, you quickly see how narrow the corridor really is.
Yeah.
VR kind of has that element to it. Just really kind of haunted him and played in his mind. And so he kind of built a game around that feeling, which to my sensibilities, like that is something video games are uniquely qualified to do, which is just communicate a feeling or an experience or an it's like kind of sense that isn't necessarily attached to a concrete story. They deal really well with the abstract. In a sense. And so Derisine is all about that, that kind of feeling of disconnection or slight otherness, built in VR. You play a fairy, and of course they spell it in the most obtuse way possible. So it's like F-A-A-E-I-R-E-E-A-Y-E.
Heaven help you if we start talking about phoenixes.
Yeah. But you can only interact with the world when time stands still, I didn't quite get an exact sense of what that means, but basically that you can observe this world around you, you can observe the people in it, but you only really get specific windows to interact with it, and they are aware of you as a fairy or the possibility of your existence to some extent, and you are trying to like almost prove your existence to them. Which is so interesting beyond like that side of the equation, and almost like a ghost kind of way, but maybe not as cheesy. So really excited for it. Just a very high concept game, and it is interesting to see someone taking that perspective, and just so notably stepping away from a formula that has worked very well for them
for a decade.
Building, you know, intentionally pursuing additional paths to a formula that has worked very well for them.
Right. So Derisine, to me, I saw this and I immediately thought like, oh yeah, this is a successor to Echo Knight.
Sure. Yeah. And other people had said that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I'm down for that. the art style and atmosphere in this look amazing. Almost like a more populated Myst style thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of hope, you know, although the feeling that they are trying to evoke is native to VR, I hope that it does eventually come to us. What do you call this? Like, what is the equivalent of Muggle for people who don't have VR?
A Ruggle?
Yeah, a virtual Ruggle.
Techno peasant?
Yeah. I hope that at the very least that is available in an adulterated form. For us plebes.
Yeah, you can, unless it's just the physicality of using VR that it is turning you off, you can always come hang out and check out.
This is true.
So yeah, the there are options. We'll weigh the options.
Any final things from Sony that stuck out? Like, there obviously was big stuff, but we want to talk about things we're excited about.
Codblops, another one.
Are you excited about that?
No.
We can continue to Nintendo, which was okay. How in depth?
You said we had to talk about ones we were excited about.
How in depth do you think you can get about Smash Brothers? Add 50% on top of that. You have learned how to make a Nintendo Brusca. It was ridiculous.
Are they adding any non-Nintendo characters?
The idea is that instead of adding a bunch of things, they are, instead bringing back, characters from the past, who had been there. So this is a comprehensive document of anybody and everybody who has been in a Smash Brothers game. So to your question, like, Solid Snake was in Smash Brothers Brawl, but was not in the Wii U one. They're bringing Snake back along with Shadow Moses Island, stuff like that. Yeah. Like that was the centerpiece. Like, there was some stuff that they talked about that got me kind of excited. It seems like a good thing to have on a Switch, just with the Switch's form factor. However, it was very fatiguing very quickly.
Yeah, it also seems a little weird, just because like the main scenario, where I could see this being like, you know, a good product, is one in which you don't hate your competitive player base.
I don't think they hate them. They're still doing things to make it stand, to make it amenable for competitive play. They're adding the ability to play with GameCube controllers, things that are like that. I think that it's more likely that it is impossible for them to make something that the most competitive people, who are like as into it as possible, are going to find without fault. I think that they have an impossible problem to solve.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Did anything else stick out about Nintendo's show?
Nah, I feel like I teeter ever closer to getting a Switch, but by the time I'm actually close to buying it, it'll be, Nintendo's abbreviated console cycle have pushed them onto something else.
Yeah. Yep. The one other thing that seemed interesting to me, but I was already interested before I saw what they showed, Octopath Traveler.
I mean, if they could come out with like a legit, like old school RPG, I could see playing that.
Yeah, I like the idea of each character having its own kind of mechanics associated with it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. So, final thoughts, going once, going twice about E3 in general, before we go on to the multiplayer.
Let's get other people's final thoughts.
Yeah, let's do that with
multiplayer.
The multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, with E3 fresh in everyone's mind, I thought we could think a bit about what might have been. So I asked people to write the headline that you most wanted to see from E3, but that didn't actually happen.
Yeah. So before I get started, Ben is not going to be joining us. He is alive. He has not become trapped in the power lines. he lost track of time, playing with his dog. And also he didn't have any games that he had played, so he decided to sit it out.
I didn't know Ben taught his dog how to play board games.
It's remarkable. It is a sensation on Instagram.
Who's a good boy? Stop trying to bulldoze me in these negotiations.
Twilight and Puprium.
Okay. I just realized I haven't been writing down titles and I've completely failed because there's been so many good ones. Now you just got to re-listen to the entire thing before giving you my title submissions.
not enough time.
I know.
Yeah. So I'll get us started here. David writes, all games are now on Switch, or at least a new Animal Crossing.
scaling back the expectations pretty far from the first one.
Yeah. David, what's Nick say?
One sec, sorry. I was posting snarky things in our Slack. First look at Metroid Prime 4.
Nope. You just have to be content with a logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dennis.
Jonathan says, a new single-player Fallout. Guess I'm going to have to find some friends.
Yeah, so this was actually the one other game I can't wait to talk about. Like, am I the only one that feels like this is just, like, a horrible, horrible idea?
I am skeptical.
Yeah.
No, I'm skeptical of their proposal, of what they have put forward. The line that I cannot remember because it came to me through like four or five different sources. But the idea of a multiplayer Fallout game, it's kind of like having a masturbation club. Like, I don't need to get other people involved in this.
Well, I just feel like. It just seems like this whole thing, like, dramatically underestimates the way the internet works.
What do you mean?
Well, just, like, the idea that it wouldn't just be a shit-flinging contest.
Yeah. I think that their aim to diffuse that is just by having the instances be incredibly small, like, on the order of, like, a dozen people as opposed to hundreds, but I have no idea.
Yeah, like the only way I could see it working is like if you got a dozen people that you knew, like,
yeah. And I don't know if that's the case. They shared a lot of information about it, but nothing that assuaged my doubts or fears.
Yeah.
Let's see. Gordon says Virtual Console is announced for Switch and it's available now. Yeah, fuck that. Why don't they have a virtual console?
What is a virtual console? Is this like a command line thing?
No, virtual console was the thing on Wii, 3DS, and Wii U, where you could buy old games, NES, SNES. That was the name for, you know, being able to play retro games on modern hardware. And okay. It does not seem to make a lot of sense that Nintendo would just not do it because it's a license to print money.
Sure.
Yeah.
You've done it once, no, multiple times for other consoles. Why did this suddenly become something that's off the table?
And that screen is it looks so good. It would like yeah. Sorry, Gordon, your comment cut deep. David.
So this one is from Phil, where he says, Waluigi. I'm sorry. Waluigi confirmed for Smash.
Yeah, people got upset about that.
It's not true that everyone's here.
What?
Said it's not true that everyone's here. That was the tagline, right?
In the past, Waluigi was an assist trophy for Wario. The fact that the reason people are salty is that Waluigi is not getting an upgrade from, you know, an assist trophy status to being his own playable character as like a whatever they're calling like an echo version of Wario even.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. Once again, Waluigi gets the snub.
Wah, 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 wah.
Wah, 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 Waluigi. Dennis.
Yes. So Ollie says Football Manager, but with the FIFA gameplay engine. That's a game that would make a mint.
Yeah. Yep.
I have no experience with that series, but I know people get crazy passionate, which I think is the status of this entire show. So
yes.
Yeah.
And also, I keep Steam open. It's just on my computer by default. I am every hour seeing a new person hop in to play more Football Manager. Brandon says Metal Gear Solid 6 confirmed. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I might steal this one as my answer.
Yeah. Konami's back in the game, baby. Let's see. David, what does Sam say?
Sam says Breath of Fire, Dragon Quarter, the Shadow Hearts series, and a PlayStation 1 era Tri-Ace games are all going to be released on PSN.
Mm. Yeah.
As long as we're asking for things.
Were those the JRPG fighter pilot games?
No, I think you're thinking of Ace Combat. Tri-Ace was a game developer. I have a vague notion of what they developed. Let us see here. They are a Japanese. They did Star Ocean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did Star Ocean back in the day. Yeah. Oh, well, it'd be cool to see Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter, but that series is consigned to the memory hole. I don't even think Breath of Fire 5, no, 6, has, seen the light of day on mobile. They announced that years ago. Meh. Let's see, Dennis, what does Austin say?
He says, thousands of people cry as Obsidian announced as writer of Fallout Louisiana.
That would be pretty amazing.
Yep, I'd like that. But no, Obsidian's doing Dying Light. Obsidian's not doing Dying Light. Chris Avalon is doing Dying Light. Yeah, Obsidian's
doing a good thing. I. Why is the clam guy, I know nothing about him.
Clam guy?
Yeah, Chris Avalon.
No, Avalon. Avalon is one of the original guys behind Fallout, or at least Fallout 2.
Oh, okay.
Head Obsidian guy. Notable.
Okay.
Notable, very good game writer. He did Planescape Torment. He did Alpha Protocol.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can get beyond this. He's doing Dying Light?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You realize all this is going to mean is that I'm going to buy another game in the series.
And you're going to hate it so much. Or maybe you won't. Yeah,
hopefully not.
Or maybe.
I am, speaking of Obsidian, sorry, this is totally off topic, but the RPG shippy game, was it Pillows? Is that Pillows of Eternity?
Maybe.
That they're making?
I mean, that is an Obsidian computer RPG.
Yeah, that looks, Pillows of Eternity 2 looks amazing.
Yeah, that's out, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, my adulting will not allow me to get another game right now. So,
yeah, it's a thing. It is real. That was so. Mike says, "I was really hoping for a new Splinter Cell." It's about time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get on that.
Yeah.
I thought I did see there was something. Rumors that it was happening.
Maybe it just wasn't ready for the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Later in the year.
I mean, there's always a new Splinter Cell, so.
Yeah. They're talking about Ironside coming back, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
This is, again, a little bathtub, but I would love to just see them take, one of the weird asynchronous, either Splinter Cell's multiplayer or the old Ezio-era Assassin's Creed multiplayer and just make that a full standalone game.
It's oh gosh, not Sniper Party, Spy Party.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Coming out soon. After years and years, what'd you find, Dennis?
So apparently, there was a retail leak earlier this year about a new Splinter Cell game, and that's why they went dark on it for E3.
Ah, okay, yeah. Maybe
next year. Well, and I mean that's entirely topical.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, what does Robert say?
Robert says Dreamcast 2.
Or at least a Dreamcast Retro Mini, something like that.
Oh, now that would be...
You mean that Power Stone 2 machine. Yeah. Dennis.
Yeah, Noah hits us with a Triforce here. He says, one, Monster Hunter Palico Fighter revealed for Smash. That would be amazing. PsyOps 2 announced. That would be amazing. North Korea announces that all nuclear research funding has been diverted to their new state video game developer, and their first game is Mercenaries 3. That, I guess that would also be cool.
That would be a net positive for the world, yeah. I wish them the best of luck, not spending their money on...
Gotta parse that one first.
Yeah. I think I have... I know, this is going to be the episode where David tangents. I'm really sorry. I think I have on my cell phone a picture, the place I went to, the coding school, like right below us was some company called PsyOps.
What?
Just like had this like crazy like logo on their thing. And it made my day every time I walked past.
Yeah. So I wonder when Midway went under, who ended up with the PsyOps license?
Huh. This is a good question.
That was really like that was pretty well received across the board, right?
Yeah, it takes a shit in the final act, but like in generally the telekinesis in that is some of the most fun you can have in physics-based games. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Justin says AAA game publishers announced year without sequels. there's a quote from the story. We'll take a hit for the sake of our art, says head of for-profit company. Yeah. Yeah.
This one takes the case, I think. Or takes the cake, I think.
Do it, David.
Eric says, Valve announces Team Fortress Battle Royale.
I would be very I don't think I would be conflicted about it. Whatever, it's a trend. People are gonna, everybody's gonna want to bite at the apple. It's fine. They would probably do a good job with it. I like the idea of a class-based battle royale. Like
it's
that.
Kind of like Realm Royale already is.
Yeah. No, I was gonna. That's immediately what I was gonna say. I'm happy that you.
I feel like that though. I know. Sorry. This would be interesting because. You know, the classes are innately not balanced. You'd almost have to do like a gun game type of thing.
What do you mean by gun game?
Like the old like, in like Counter-Strike and a lot of games from that era, basically you start out with like generally a pretty good weapon. Mm-hmm. And then every time you get a kill, you get a worse weapon, and whoever gets down to like the knife and kills someone first wins.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like you'd almost have to have some sort of battle royale system where you start out as, I don't know, like the soldier or something and work down to like trying to get kills as the spy or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
the scout maybe.
You know what, like what Eric has written here is on a whiteboard at Valve. But nobody there wants to work on games, so it'll never happen.
Yeah, but they can buy people that work on games.
This is true. Dennis, what does Warren say?
Warren says, coming to all platforms this fall, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater fully recreated in the Fox Engine.
Sell the Fox Engine, you cowards. I want other stuff to be made in the Fox Engine. Bill writes, the conspiracy is no longer a theory. Shadows Die Twice is Bloodborne 2. The game is heavily influenced by Asian horror, doesn't do anything weird to the original mythology, and is as different as Dark Souls 2 was.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. I like that. That would be interesting. I would like to see them play with Eastern horror. But nope, not what we got. Man, so much disappointment here. Like people have good
wait,
and cool ideas.
To be fair, technically speaking, them playing with Eastern horror, isn't that exactly what we got?
Oh yeah, I suppose, but like more explicitly horror, like Bloodborne is horror, as opposed to just kind of straight up Japanese mythology.
Okay.
And you know, ninja lore stuff like
more
that.
More creepy little girls, less creepy big onis.
Yeah, just like go full Junji Ito with it. Is what I would like. David, what's Christopher say?
Christopher says, a new single-player Fallout developed by Obsidian.
Yep.
I think that's officially gotten the most votes, which I believe means that they have to make it so.
Yes.
But they did Wasteland 2. Well, that's what it is. Oh. Dennis.
Steven says, Final Fantasy VII remake trailer and release date announced spring 2019.
For part one.
You know, as long as you're making up the headline, why not make it like today?
Yeah.
Why push it out to spring 2019?
Yeah, make it look under your chair.
Yeah.
Corbin writes, gameplay demo explaining what kind of game Death Stranding is. Yeah.
That's good.
We saw gameplay. I don't know what it involves besides moving from place to place while carrying bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. It has become a meme, and I want to make sure that it is that this is immortalized here before it goes away. But subtitling Death Stranding as Norman Reedus and his amazing fetus
and the funky fetus
and the Norman Reedus and the funky fetus. Thank you.
Yes, I'm wholly in favor of this.
David.
Chris says Dragon's Dogma 2.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger, better.
Dragon ear. Dogma ear.
More dragons, and they're far more dogmatic. It is very off-putting. Dennis.
Tomas says, Paper Mario N64 version 3D as the 3DS's swan song.
Hmm.
Yeah, go for it.
No 3DS?
Although I feel like if I was going to, like, throw some wishes Nintendo's way, I might go all the way with like Mario RPG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Again, our imagination is the limit. Juan says, oh, good. What?
Oh, I was going to say, but yeah, I would definitely, that would definitely be enough to push me over on the 3DS.
Oh, the presence of original N64 on there?
Well, in general, yes, but even just Paper Mario itself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, you can play it on the Wii U.
Hmm.
Juan says, sentient chicken nuggets take the gaming world by storm. I don't know how to parse that.
Don't parse, just run!
And then I think that Gwillem takes the cake here. David, what does Gwillem say?
Gwillem says, in a shocking news story tonight, Scrappy Doo found dead in Miami. Story at 5.
There were no survivors. So, I guess we could put it to us. I haven't really thought about it. What are you disappointed that you didn't see?
My headline would be PSVR to be added to everyone who owns a PlayStation 4 so I can actually have people to play with.
You mean just like they ship one out to everybody?
Yeah, everyone gets one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, like, I should, that's unnecessarily cynical. I've actually slowly gotten more and more exposure to the PSVR community.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird the places that it pops up, but everyone is incredibly friendly and welcoming. So, I'll do that headline with a grain of salt.
Yeah. You would not want this nice thing that you've found to be ruined by exposure.
No.
Yeah. David, how about you?
I'll be totally honest. I'm not sure I had any that weren't completely just like weird shot in the dark. A part of me did kind of wish for the Palico as a playboy in Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm.
I actually similarly, apparently some of the previous Monster Hunter games have had a mode where you play as your Palico instead of your hunter.
Hmm.
And I'm still holding out hope that that'll be released as a DLC for World.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still doing a bunch of stuff. They're very interested in supporting it.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal one from the people, in the comments here. The lack of virtual console is, but, I really wish that they had virtual console on the Switch. That would have been a very easy win for them to claim. I'm positive there is a reason. I just don't know if that reason is good enough.
Right.
Oh, well, thank you everybody for writing in about this. We can close the lid on E3, now, unless there are, knock on effects or stories, additional things, but it'll be more focused. If you want to participate in these going forward into the future, which is the only direction we can go with current technology
so far,
go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Mondays, usually in the afternoon.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Let's see here. David, you were away last week. What you been playing?
Sure. So I guess I'll kind of start in reverse. I picked up Nioh last night because it was finally on sale on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
Oh, although nice.
I've only made it through the tutorial level, which is apparently actually the tutorial for the tutorial level.
Yeah, the Tower of London, it only basically teaches you kind of what buttons do. It does not actually explain the most relevant systems for fighting the enemies that you're going to fight elsewhere. And also the tutorials are spread throughout as like little challenges that you do.
Right. And so far, like the primary challenge in the game appears to be the fact that dodge is not X. That has probably killed me more than anything else.
You mean dodge is not circle?
Or whatever is on the right on a PlayStation controller.
Yeah, circle.
Okay, my bad. So dodge is not a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Is really messing me up.
Muscle memory, man. I mean, that fucked me up too.
Yeah. I'm kind of stuck on they right from the outset ask you to pick like what weapons you want to kind of build your initial stats around without you actually having played any of the weapons.
Yep.
So that's kind of killing me, but my understanding is it doesn't actually make that much of a difference, so.
It's a little bit like Souls. I don't think anything, as far as I can recall, I don't think any choice you make at the start there has too huge of an effect outside of, like, I think the Guardian that you get, but I think even the Guardian can be changed.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to go with Okami or whatever they call him.
I can't recall.
Yeah.
You fight with a little painting fox?
But it is basically, I guess it's not technically a fox, it's a wolf, but yeah. it basically looks identical to Okami.
Yeah. I think I chose whichever one's like the fire elemental.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I still don't entirely get from the gameplay standpoint what the point is of like you starting out in the Tower of London if they're going to just like instantly ship you off to Japan. Like, I don't know, do they eventually get any like milestone out of like how weird your character is?
And he's based on an actual historical figure, somebody who came from the West and kind of got involved, it's obviously a heavily fictionalized version of it. Yeah. I forget. I think his actual name is what's used in the game.
Okay.
Pretty much everything that you see is, a representation of like either a person or, an event that happened during that civil war that's depicted there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool then.
Yeah. So it is, again, heavily stylized, heavily mythologized, kind of depictions of Japanese history, which is a huge pro for a lot of people, that is something that speaks to the game's favor. I'm not familiar with enough of that stuff to have it ring as like, oh, hey, it's that guy,
Sure.
So it didn't, that didn't work in as heavily in its favor for me as it did for a lot of people.
Sure, definitely. So, yeah, so that, I mean, not a lot to talk about, probably more next time. Other than that, I've just been binging on a Cult Simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So, I've gone a lot farther in that. I've basically, you know, got my basic cult kind of filled out. One of the interesting things with the game is that I might have the exact percentages wrong, but basically almost every skill check, you depending on like what stat you have, you either have a 30%, 70%, or 100% chance of succeeding.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is, as near as I can tell, it's generally speaking like constant. So like on any skill check, having 10 in the appropriate stat means 100% chance of success. Which is kind of interesting. It's, I don't know, like this is actually something they kind of did with Fallen London as well. Is they, it seems like some of their modus operandi is to like put weird limitations on the way they structure their gameplay, but then kind of use that as the framework to build upon, if that makes sense. But the end result of that is like, your cultist can be upgraded twice, and one's, you know, fairly early on, the other one's very late game, and your second upgrade is basically raises them to 5 in one of the stats. So long story short is I have at least 2 per people with every stat now, so I can basically just you know, win any check. Although it's still a lot of it then, you know, very much then becomes, it's less about can you succeed in a given check than it is about like managing, you know, juggling like how aggressive you are, say, going after artifacts versus like how much, you know, notoriety you, you build up with the people that are after you.
So what you're saying, I mean, you have 100% success rate on your moves in chess as well. Doesn't
yes,
have to get.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a excellent way to put it. And yeah, the storylines, at least one aspect of the storylines, starting to, kind of fill in some, it seems like they're maybe going with a, little bit of a, like, almost like a parallel universe type thing, which is kind of interesting.
Parallel to
some of it. So like I just raided a ruins, and they're like, oh yeah, this is clearly from the timeline where, you know, Europe got overrun by the worms.
Oh.
Yeah, huh. as you do.
Yeah. Yeah, the worm's gonna get it in regardless, so
yeah, I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then you know, again, the game explains nothing to you, so I've no idea if this is accurate, but it seems like one of the main you know, the main kind of sort of the game's equivalent of like story quests, say. Is you know, you're advancing farther into the dream realm.
Okay.
And so you know, I've made it, as far as I can tell, I'm somewhere between like half to two thirds of the way in. And yeah, so I think like my next challenge is I have to make it across some like existential desert, like the, you know, the platonic you know, ideal of desert, and so I need to basically get enough occult power in order to sustain me across from there.
Nice.
But yeah, it's interesting. You get a lot more tools to mess with people. One thing I do like that I feel like it really ends up kind of supporting the, it's a cool way that the gameplay supports the theming, is that when you go on these expeditions to like the various ruins and cursed places and stuff like that, you generally go in without knowing what stats you're going to need, but you can add people as you go. If you fail a check, generally speaking, you'll basically, the people you send will start dying in the order you send them. So, like, straight up, the strategy is you either, like, you have your named people in your cult, and then you have just, like, expendable pawns.
Okay, right, red shirts,
Yeah, so you basically, like, at first either stack it with them or, like, with, like, thugs and thieves that you've hired off the street and stuff like that, and just kind of send them in to get killed so that you can, like, figure out what you actually need to do to get past things.
Instead of trial balloon, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
What's the most awful thing you've done in the game? Or, had done in your name in the game, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. I locked someone in a closet until they starved to death.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and that was kind of unfortunate because it was one of those things where, like, basically you get your initial hideout. And, like, one of the locations is like, closet.
Okay.
And so it's a thing where, like, you then lock them in and they're, like, in there for, like, 5 minutes because, you know, everything in the game is running in real-time timers.
Okay.
And then, like, you end up with, like, a dead body. And I get done with it, I'm like, I have no idea, like, what that accomplished.
It's like a very shitty oven.
I think my favorite just like kind of random lore thing I've gotten is a lot of it is, you know, you reading various like occult books and things like that to glean knowledge. And one of them I read was basically this like occult play where this series of the queens of the world's great rivers are one by one being killed off, and ultimately the way the play ends is they determine that clearly the people that are at fault for all these deaths are the audience, because without them it wouldn't be happening,
right?
And so they then proceed to kill any of the audience members that can't get away. It's like, oh, okay.
Just very, very twisted.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. It's that kind of, like, it's just, there's a lot of weird in it, but it's pretty good.
Nice.
So, I think that's just about all I've got. It's kind of a game that you innately, it's very, very good, but it's a game you just kind of have to play. You can't really explain that much.
Yeah. About how long do your runs last?
Pretty long. I will say that's maybe my one complaint about it is the build up. I'm on my third run, and it was kind of frustrating after my I made a mistake on my last one, and I was fairly far and basically got arrested. And ultimately, like, building back up kind of my basic, recruiting all my cult members, getting a base of knowledge, that sort of thing, took, like, about an hour.
Okay.
Although it's roguelike, but it's a game where, like, in the options menu, one of the options is just, like, show me the folder where you open the folder where you save my save files. So I feel like it's sort of a wink and a nod. So I basically, this time, just once I got everything basically set up, backed up that save, and then started, you know, quote unquote, actually playing the game.
That's kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's also a menu option that is simply a toggle, and the options are either worm or bird. And that seems a little troubling.
Yeah.
So actually, similarly, something that kind of makes my day is on the main menu screen there, you know, there's now often the menu item for like show me the credits, except the actual menu entry is who is to blame.
Nice. Yeah. I'm happy you're having fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Is that everything?
Yep.
Cool. I'm going to do mine because it is very brief, because I have been busy playing a lot of assignment stuff for other shows. However, this past weekend, I streamed a small game from the team that made The Secret World. This is a game called The Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
which is actually set in the Secret World's universe.
Yes. It's set in the kind of demented, haunted amusement park that was set up to channel the strength of people's emotions to perform some kind of, you know, horrible rites or whatever. You're playing you're playing as a mom who is looking for her missing son in the park. You know, something is terrible. you know, something terrible has happened to this son. And yeah, it's, you know, it is a horror game of the, you know, exploration slash walking simulator variety, but the idea being, like, as you're going through the park, you go into different attractions and it reveals a little bit more about you know, the story, a little bit of backstory about this, you know, this mom and her relationship, you know, basically with everybody around her, including her son, culminating, you know, with her going into the Hall of Horrors and having the you know, the reality of the situation revealed to her.
Sure. And that is, I'm gonna have to pull those up, because that is one of my favorite places in the Secret World. So I'm kind of interested to see how they went from it in this.
Yeah, like the a lot of the story details that you find are like notes from the founder of that place, like Mr. Winters. Mm-hmm. You know, who, you know, built it again as a focus for all this stuff. I was a little bit underwhelmed by it, honestly. There are certainly parts of it, you know, like that made me jump. You know, there's one particular sequence near the end that I think is, you know, like masterful on like the level of PT in terms of showing like repetition, but also like iterative degradation. And I don't want to reveal too many, you know, details about what happens there. The thing that honestly got a little bit under my skin is the depiction of mental health problems. Sure. You know, as it is, you know, predictably a little bit revealed that the main character, you know, suffers, you know, from some infirmity and was, you know, in the system, you know, being treated for mental health issues in the 80s. And like, weirdly, it's not like a sensitivity problem, because whatever, I have come to not really like sensitive depictions of mental health problems in horror are the exception as opposed to the rules, whatever. Mm-hmm. The problem is, one of the ways that they show her degradation, you know, by depicting her past or whatever, is by showing her taking more and more of something called Zoloft. Like, oh, I need to refill prescription for Zoloft, need to take more Zoloft. And it's like, hey, doc, that's not like something you get addicted to. Like, yeah, you take it and you're dependent on it because it's medicine that you need to feel normal, but it's not like Xanax or a benzo or something like that, where like taking more and more of it would be a sign of like a problem.
It feels like they picked the name that first came to mind to parody rather than doing any research on what would be a relevant drug to parody.
Yeah.
Like, parody is the wrong word, but like, you know, crib off of.
Right. To depict. And so like anybody who knows anything about depression or SSRIs or whatever, it's like, yeah, it's possible to overdose on those. Like serotonin syndrome fucking sucks. However, like that is just not that, like that is not a mechanism for drama in the way that they're trying to, in the way that they're trying to show it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So regardless. Yeah, that's that is all that I played. Fortunately, it's, you know, short or whatever, and there are like some highlights. That was the stuff that really just kind of threw a bucket of water on my enjoyment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So that's everything for me. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so new thoughts on a game that I talked about last week. David, cover your ears. I played a little bit more Realm Royale.
Wait a minute. Does David have a problem with you playing this game?
Oh, he just talked about being tired of hearing of Realm Royale. Although, David, this time you're part of the problem because I played it with you.
It was a great game. No, I'm just saying more in general, I'm tired of the industry's obsession. Like, this is a legit game.
It was really interesting, though. So I played Duo Queue with David and then with another Duckfeed member, and I'm forgetting the name real quick here. I want to say it was Angelo. Yes, it was. So Angelo. I found it really interesting that Duo Queue was a much more crowded experience than the single-player games. And I don't know how to explain that, because ostensibly every single time you're dropping in, I look at the counter, usually it's around like 85-ish players that are dropping in at a time.
Yeah.
And when I'm doing solo queue, normally, you know, as long as I pick somewhere that isn't, you know, right under the Zeppelin, you've got a little bit of margin before you have to start fighting people. Whereas in duo queue, every single time I dropped, we were just immediately surrounded by people.
You just had no runway to prepare yourself.
No, it was land and fight, and God help you if you didn't land directly next to a crate and find a weapon on the first try. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, it, theoretically, if you're paired off in teams, it should be even more easy to find your own spot, right? Because, you know, in solo queue, you've got 85 people picking a spot. Mm-hmm. And those are going to overlap. Really, in duo queue, you've now got whatever 42 teams picking a spot. And so I'm wondering if maybe like that 85 counter is like 85 pairs of two, but then that just seems a little insane.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is, or if everyone feels much more obligated than normal to drop near a forge than in solo queue. It was just odd, because even then we didn't always drop in near kind of a hot spot, and we still were just always right next to someone. So still tons of fun, but the games went either super quick or the games tended to go super quick more often.
Yeah,
because I am not good yet at winning those early duels. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was just interesting. I don't know what's going on there. It's also interesting that this is in the alpha phase, so they are pretty rapidly tuning the game as they go.
Right.
And that is fun to see as well. New features be constantly added, and just makes the game feel new and fresh, a step above your normal like patch cycle for an established game out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll continue playing that. There's a ranking system. So I'm up to silver one, rank silver one. Started at bronze 5. I have no idea what causes you to progress or the rules. Like, it just says place higher for to gain ranks. However, I've never gone down in a rank, even when I'm on a cold streak. So I'm wondering if it's just like an accrued points over, you know, a series of games, and you will rise faster if you place higher. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah.
So,
but continues to hold my attention.
I'm assuming you talked about this last week, so maybe you covered this, but two things I'd call out. I feel like the pretty significantly increased time to kill really changes the dynamic of the game. And I think in a way that I'm not sure I'd say it's superior, but I think it's good. It's much less of a like wander around and then get like sniped from across the map type of a thing. The other thing is probably my favorite feature of the game is the fact that when you get killed, you turn into a chicken.
Yes.
And have a chance to run away. And if you survive for 30 seconds, you revive. And mainly, like, I think I only once ever was able to revive, but just in general, the fact that, like, when you get killed, it basically becomes you now have 30 seconds to fuck with them.
Yeah.
I really, really them, enjoy.
Yes. I'm going to have to insist.
Wait, 30 seconds to cluck with them.
Yes, exactly. in particular, like, all of the windows in the game are inexplicably, or are explicitly, not explicitly, well, maybe, designed so that the chicken can fit through, but, you know, players can't. So you can very quickly, like, bolt out a window and just, like, take off running and force them to, like, chase after you.
Play that game all day.
Yeah.
The feature I would love to see more than any other is there's currently no progression system, and I would love to see, like, persistent progression, but only for your chicken. Like, just new ways to screw with people.
I mean, I can see that being a part of the being a part of the strategy, right? Like, you know, okay, I'm a chicken. I'm going to distract you as much as possible, hoping that whoever comes in kills you before you can kill me, and I have more time.
Yeah. There. Yeah.
And I was thinking you could even do play with that, because, like, they have a lot of the class abilities revolve around, like, basically highlighting where people are on the map. And I would love to have, like, some sort of, like, super cluck, like, rooster call I could do that does the inverse and, like, highlights to everyone else where I am on the map in order to basically, like, try to lure in people to come kill the persons that's trying to kill my chicken.
Yeah, it'd be like when a bee releases the, like, come, everybody come swarm this guy pheromone.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. I feel like you could do mechanics like that where it wouldn't really make you more powerful, but it would make you, like I said, able to screw with people.
Spite base gameplay is good.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. The other game I've been playing is Rime, the Journey meets Eco indie game for PlayStation.
Yeah, how is that?
It's really good. So, I mean, I can't say that there's anything hugely different than that description would imply, Journey meets Eco. You're a boy who wakes up on a beach, and the camera positioning tells you you should probably head for the tower. Giant tower in the background, especially because it's on the game's cover art, and you start trying to do that. You have a shout button, which some statues in the world will kind of release little sprites when you shout at them, and a very cute little touch, which is if you hit the shout button when you're not near anything, he'll just do a little hum.
Yeah.
Which has this night, you know, just a little kid running around humming to himself, like, while he plays. Like, I've witnessed that. That's very true. That's very resonates with real life. So there's a little fox that seems to be trying to lead you along and will bark at you and try to get your attention. And then there is a man. I mean, I wouldn't even say it's a man. It is literally a Journey character. It's someone in a red robe that will stand ominously in doorways. And then when you walk close enough to actually see them, they'll, like, disappear behind a corner and, you know, be unable to be found. So other than that, there really aren't any other characters in the game. There's a couple piggies running around, and those factor into puzzles here and there. But otherwise, it's a very solitary experience as you puzzle your way through. Nothing too crazy difficult so far. But this is one that I've been playing with the kiddos.
Right.
And they have very much enjoyed watching. And particularly are curious about the little fox. I get bombarded with questions every time it shows up in the game.
Do they think you're holding out?
I think they do.
That's when you just start making things up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, there's a fox. There he is. What's he doing? Where's he want to? Where is he going? I didn't see him. And it's just like, you know, a complete stream of consciousness of excitement and curiosity about the fox. So
just like
whoever designed that knew what they were doing. Yeah.
I'm happy that you're having a good time with that. I know I always say that, but like that game in particular, you opened with the comparison saying, oh, it's like Journey and Eco. That is a comparison that however accurate it might be, it never could have done that game any favors because it immediately calls up a comparison to something that it couldn't possibly, you know, rise to. Right.
Yeah, here's two incredibly singular things that you don't want to see cribbed or imitated.
Right.
That this game is like. But it seems to have its own oeuvre so far.
Yeah. Very nice. And I'm happy you're having fun with the kiddos playing that.
Yeah, that's been a perk. Someone in the Slack suggested that there are small PlayStation controllers that might actually fit their hands better.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I'm quite ready to take that jump, but yes.
Maybe for Luke. Yeah. Maybe for Luke in like a year or two.
Yeah. But it's been a ton of fun.
What's your process for finding games that you think will be good to play along with them?
Oh man. Mostly just what comes my way on PlayStation Plus, if I'm honest.
Oh yeah.
It's that simple, and they seem to like know that there's an audience for that because they pretty consistently have the kid friendly stuff on there.
Yeah.
Or it might just be knowing, you know, the type of people subscribing are likely as likely kids as adults.
Right.
But in addition, also just cribbing from games that I have fond memories of. So that's what led me to Jak and Daxter, and the like. Like when Spyro comes out, I'll definitely pick that up.
Yeah.
So that guides me as well.
Yeah, I don't mean to like just interview you or whatever. I just I'm curious about that.
No, like, it's a blast.
It seems like it would eventually get difficult.
Yeah, we'll see. I think there's, you know, we had talked about the dadding of games several years ago. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a thing that's gone on, and I feel like with the inevitable arc is people stop just designing games about being a dad and start designing games meant to play with your kids as we go from, you know, little babies and people who can't interact with games to children who actually are at that stage. So
yeah,
I'm sure that it will only go up in frequency as time goes on.
Nice.
Yeah. So, a quick plug. There is a Slack channel now for parents. It's The Kids Are All Right.
As if that is a very good name.
Yes. Full credit to Phil Holmes, who is the pun master / the name master for that one. And it's just all things for parents. You're welcome to post baby pictures in life, please do. Mm-hmm. But if you want to post 500 baby pictures and talk about parenting for, you know, 3 hours at a time, The Kids Are All Right is your place.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, Realm Royale and Rhyme, that's a lot of R's. Is that all you've been doing?
Yes, I'm legally required to play only games that begin with R now. So I guess I'm on the Rage 2 bandwagon.
Very cool. Well, how do you all feel about buttoning it up?
Buttons. Speed buttons.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of The Level number 246. We appreciate it. The call to action, really the only one I want to leave you with, is to go to duckfeed.tv/store and grab the Duck Bundle 2. And if you haven't already, grab Duck Bundle 1, because that's fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you need more of a sell on it, the first Duck Bundle had about 10 hours of content. Totaling it up, Duck Bundle 2 is approaching 15. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. If dollar to hour ratio is how you make purchasing decisions, I would say this is an even better value than the first. Yeah. But otherwise, tune in next week and tell your friends if you can. Is there anything important that I'm missing?
No, be nice to each other.
Please. Yeah. So I've been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams on Twitch at Duckfeed TV.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can watch me freak out at Until Dawn Rush of Blood in VR at twitch.tv. Oh man, twitch.tv/greenlaser73.
You're gonna do that, really?
I'd be completely down to.
Nice.
I'll try to announce it a little bit in advance.
Gonna be a YouTube screamer. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
David.
It's my highest aspiration in life.
My name's David Moneysmith, and you can find me on the Duckfeed Network.
Yeah. The Duckfeed family of products. And stick around for some titles. Okay, I only have one, A Confederacy of Bourns.
There it is, yes. I had that one and Twilight Impuprium. There's one really short one that I realized I wanted to capture and then forgot to write down, but it's neither here nor there.
You have anything, David?
No, I apparently neglected to write down all mine.
There's usually one of us who does that, and it's fine because so what'll be a problem is if each of us assumes that we are the only one, yeah. We just reach the end. All right, so up or down vote on Confederacy of Bourns or Twilight Impuprium. I think A Confederacy of Bourns relates more to the topic of the episode.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Cool. All right. Sorry, Peace Twilight and Puprium. Cool. Take care, David. If I don't talk to you, so tell your mom I said hi.
Definitely.
Oh, Cole, I wanted to ask you, did you intentionally crib the Vita home screen in your Diggity Duck Bundle 2 announcement?
No, it must have been subliminal. I just know I did the squares. I did the squares last time, and I wanted to do just bubbles this time. But
yeah, I would send you a screenshot of the home screen for Vita, except the screenshot function is broken on mine. So
oh, fun.
You're just going to have to take my word for it that it no. is very close.
So somebody else noticed that as well.
nice.
Yeah, no, so that's how I have the answer. It was not intentional. I don't think it's entirely accidental either, but
yeah, you know. The happy accident.
Yeah. All right, cool. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, see you around.
Bye. Peace.